Tailgate Talks, and it's the final tailgate of 2025. It is December 30th, and we are recording on a Tuesday night, episode 272. As I said, the last episode of 2025 as we get set to bring in the new year, and well, the new year kicks off with a bang with the Red Raiders and the Oregon Ducks in the Orange Bowl, the biggest game in Texas Tech history. Coming up to start the year, so 2025 leaves us. 2025 is going to start us all in all of the emotions, and so we are looking forward to that game. So that is going to be the majority of our episode today. Might dive into a little bit of basketball, but we're focused on the Ducks, focused on the college football playoff. And so with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right. We hope you all had a Merry Christmas and celebrated with your family, friends, and loved ones. Got everything that you hoped for. And the first thing that Red Raider Nation will be hoping for is a win this coming Thursday on New Year's Day as the Red Raiders face off with the number 5-seeded Oregon Ducks in the Orange Bowl. First time for the Red Raiders playing in the Orange Bowl. It's a huge game. Biggest game in program history, possibly. How you feeling, Dustin, as we are now under 48 hours away from kick?
No, it's finally here. Like, we've been waiting for so long, I feel like, since the Big 12 champ game. Weeks and weeks and weeks and months.
Felt like a whole other offseason that like we've had to wait for, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, watched another set of playoff games, watched a handful of bowl games. Yeah, it's finally here. Yeah, the layoff kind of sucks, but if you've looked and read at things, it's the healthiest we've probably been all season, possibly even from the start of the season. Yeah. So that's a huge plus and what we were hoping for out of getting that bye week. So really looking forward to it. Yeah. Got a lot of Big 12 champ gear for Christmas. So been wearing that all the time for the last week, and we're ready to keep wearing it. Not going to do much for New Year's Eve. That way I can wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Be ready to rock and roll for an 11 a.m. kick.
Yeah. Plan accordingly. Yes. Enjoy bringing in the new year, but we've got an early one on Saturday. So you got to be up and get ready and be lively to root on those Red Raiders. So don't go too hard and save it for Thursday and enjoy the Red Raiders getting to kick off on New Year's Day. Yeah, it has felt a very long time since the Big 12 championship. That felt like a lifetime ago. Yeah. Now it's been a very long 3 weeks of just waiting and waiting. So the content of the team being in Florida now in Miami is nice to see. Nice to see the players kind of in their Orange Bowl gear and stuff. And so it's starting to really feel, okay, it's here. It's almost time. The team's there. In Miami, getting ready to go, practicing and everything. And so, yeah, it feels almost like go time. Super excited for this one. And I'm going to be nervous as hell come probably tomorrow night. Like, as soon as tomorrow night, I'm probably just going to be, like, stressed out all night waiting for this game. Hopefully, I'll be able to take the edge off a little bit celebrating New Year's. And then I don't know if I'll be able to sleep much anyway. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm debating. I just power through. Watch the game and then, you know, just let that energy get me through the rest of the day. Or if the bad outcome happens, just pass out and sleep the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? You know, it has been 3 weeks. What are your thoughts on the Red Raiders and this kind of rest versus rest thing? You know, last year, all bye teams lost in this round. Now, of course, different set of circumstances. Last year you had Arizona State and Boise State as bye teams. Right. This year it's the top four teams in the country, but you know, Oregon did get a chance to play recently, kind of get loose. It seems like our guys are just kind of ready to get this going. Your thoughts on, you know, having to wait 3 weeks for us to play while Oregon's got a chance to get out there and work on some things?
Yeah, but we needed the rest way more than even a warm-up game, because I mean, hell, even throughout the season, some of our easier games, you know, we've had someone get dinged up here and there and, you know, not come out completely healthy from some of these games. So we needed to rest way more And you've seen with this team throughout the season, coming off bye weeks and whatnot, that it doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
They are, you know, hungry dogs, ready to go, are very prepared and come out the gate. You know, it hasn't been an issue for us all season. And so I don't expect it to be that way here either, especially with what I think Oregon's game plan is going to be, to try to go fast, get up early, and can't have that happen. So I think they'll be very prepared. They've been all year. You have the guys that get you prepared and ready and don't let you not be awake for the game.
Yeah, I think this team's different. I think in past Texas Tech teams, I'd been wary about it. But, yeah, I'm not really nervous with the group of guys you got leading them. I know Skylar Gil Howard won't be out there, but he'll be pumping the dudes up before and getting those guys fired up. And I don't know how you aren't ready to go run through brick wall after that guy gives a speech. So, and every time we see Joey's pregame locker room speeches, you know, those are firing the guys up. So, and it's actually a little bit later for them over there. And it's actually, true, you know, noon kickoff over there. Yeah. So it'll be a little bit later than they're used to at 11 a.m. kickoff. So I don't expect that to be much of a factor in this one. I don't expect the crowd to be much of a factor. Level's been saying it kind of all week. You know, we just played in Jerry World, which is a way bigger stadium than the Hard Rock in Miami. So I don't think that's going to be a huge factor. I just think you've got a lot of leadership with these guys, and I expect them to come out. I think they're ready to go. I think Level was also saying that they're just ready to get there. They didn't want to get there too early because they didn't want to go through the festivities. They just want to get there and play ball. Like, it's business for these guys. It's not about the enjoyment of everything.
Yeah, I saw them practicing the other day, and I was like, man, that would be one of the last practices they get before they leave, because with these big bowl games, especially now that being playoff games, you got to get there days before to do, you know, night before stuff, or, you know, team bowling, whatever it may be, and a bunch of interviews. So, yeah, I think they headed out today.
They got there Monday.
Monday, there we go. Yep, and getting prepared and settled in.
Yeah, you got to honor, like, some bowl commitments with these things. So I think last night was, like, a team dinner. They had some, like, fireworks show, got some of their goodies and everything like that. But these boys know this is a business trip. Other bowl games, you know, it is kind of the fun of it, right? You're not really playing for much after the bowl, but there's a lot more at stake than just winning the Orange Bowl in this one. So I think they're business ready. I think I'm not super worried about them trying to get off to a fast start. I think they're going to have their heads in the right place, come out to play. Well, it is the Oregon Ducks. It is a team that we have, you know, watched from afar, a program that has kind of ascended into, I wouldn't call it quite blue blood territory yet, but they've been one of the most successful college football programs over the last 20 years, made the national title a couple times. They've been a really fun team. Dan Lanning has a job. Your thoughts overall on taking on the Ducks and this kind of game, a team that's been there, been to the playoff a few times, and versus us, who's kind of the team looking to bust through the door.
Yeah, like, that was a good setup for exactly what your question is. Cause, like, yeah, they've been there. They've been in big games. They've been in Pac-12 or Big Ten champ games, whatever it may be. Lanning's been there. A bunch of teams been there. They've been good, you know. So the last 20 years they've been there, been good, but they've never been able to break over and really win the whole thing. And so they've always had that kind of chip. And, like, I don't know. I think they're just in the media right now getting more of the favoritism just because of the helmet and the jerseys and being used to that for the last 20 some years. And we're really not getting much respect at all, I feel like, besides some few people that have actually watched games and watched some of our games. You can tell the ones that have not.
It's just an assumption because they're in the Big Ten. It's logo and conference, you know, so they're just getting the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and so I'm not scared of them, especially looking at a lot of things that we'll get into here. But that's, like, my biggest gripe is you can tell who's looked at games and knows that this is going to be a really good competitive game. And the other ones that are just like, Oregon's going to be too good and too fast and too physical for Texas Tech. And it's like, you haven't watched us at all.
Yeah, explosive is a lot of the term that you hear about Oregon. And it's like, okay, but we're also, I think I saw Oregon's number one in the country with 91 explosive plays. And we're number two.
Yeah.
With 90.
Yeah, 90.
And so it's like, hey, you know, we're pretty explosive too. We've got guys on the offense that can beat you, a lot of weapons that can beat you. And we also got a defense that has a front seven, I think, unlike anybody else in the country. So, yeah, when you want to talk about explosive, I think we're right up there with Oregon. And so, yeah, I think a lot of the discussion has been very, you know, obviously they're always going to favor SEC and yep. Big Ten teams till you go out and prove it. And that's the most important part of this game to me is a huge prove it game for Texas Tech, for the Big 12 and just the kind of the prove where we are. Cause a lot of people are looking for us to go out there and just lay an egg and be like, oh yeah, see, I told you Oregon. Oh yeah. See, I told you that the Big 12's weak, that they can't. So you've got a lot kind of weighing on your shoulders here, is you got to go out and prove it not only for yourself, but you kind of got to prove it for the rest of the conference.
And on that note, like, it's just validation for this team in this season. You know, my cousin-in-law was telling me that over Christmas break, and that's what he wants the most, is like, yeah, I want us to win. I also want us to look good doing it, even if it's a super close loss or something, like, to validate this season, validate the Big 12, validate beating all these teams by 20 points and not coming out and lay a dud. And then it's just the, I told you so, Big 12 crap, you know? So it's validation for these guys and our fan base too.
I mean, and that's the interesting part of this game too, is the other side of it is Oregon had that last year, right? They got the bye, they came in, they got blown out by Ohio State. And so they've got a little bit of redemption in there to go out there and prove it for themselves. So I find that very interesting, the kind of routes that we've took here, the kind of path that Oregon's, you know, they're trying to go out there and prove it. We're trying to go out there and prove it. And I'm just kind of like you. It's like, I want to win this really bad, because I think one win solidifies this team as like the greatest Texas Tech team ever, if not already. And then is kind of the cherry on top of what was an amazing season, but it proves everything. And kind of like Arizona State did last year, that they competed enough to where they're like, okay, they belonged in this tournament. That's just, where I'm like with you. If we're going to go down, I want to go down in like what a game that everybody was like, damn, all right, Tech deserves that respect. That's the only thing I want, is us to get this, the flowers, and not to get the, I told you so's.
Right.
I don't want to hear those people because they're going to be extra loud if that happens. So I think we got to shut them up. So let's get to the kind of the keys of the game. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. Barron Morton, as you said, this team is as healthy as it's been all year. Barron Morton is as healthy as he's been since pretty much the start of the season, as he got dinged up in that first game. That's where the hairline fracture came into play. Hasn't been healthy since. He said he's not quite 100%, but he's feeling as good as he's felt in a long time. I think you're going to see a much more mobile Barron Morton. You've got, obviously, the dynamic duo of Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams at running back, and your receivers, and Terrence Carter, who I think is going to be X factor in this game, going up against Oregon Ducks, who are a very good defense, one of the top defenses in the country. That's going to kind of be a theme of this college football playoff, is pretty much all the teams that are left have one of the best defenses in the country. Where they do struggle, though, Dustin, and a couple things I've seen, is they struggle in the red zone and they struggle on fourth down. So those are a couple things to kind of keep an eye on in this game. But what are your thoughts on Barron Morton, Mack Leftwich, and this Texas Tech offense against this Oregon Ducks defense?
Yeah, the red zone numbers, they're ranked like 90th, I think, in red zone.
Oh, they're in the hundreds. They're in the hundreds. We're the team that's in the 90th offensively, and I think they're like in the hundreds defensively.
Which is great for us, because that's one of our weaknesses, especially like schematically. If you look at our team, that is our biggest, you know, schematic weakness. So if we can get down there.
And also chalk that up a little bit to BYU having one of the best red zone defenses in the country. But anyway, I guess we'll find out.
And I mean, just looking at their defense, they have one really good linebacker, which I'm not on the right linebacker page. Bryce Bocher. He's got 113 tackles for the year and a sack in there, one pick. So he's their one stud on defense. I mean,
They have a really good safety as well that I think, like I heard some of the Oregon people talking about, that's going to be a really damn good and going to be hard to deal with, I think.
Yeah, and then they got two good edge guys with decent sack numbers. No Romello Height or David Bailey type dudes, but those are the guys you got to watch for. We kind of know our offensive weakness is pressure, passing protection when there's blitzing, you know. Mm-hmm. They're only bringing four guys to our five or six. We can deal with that fine. And they start bringing five or six, and we got to deal with it straight up. We tend to struggle a little bit when there's pressure up front, especially on Barron. So we can kind of expect them to blitz and bring it and try to force the issue. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, so with these guys not having super high sack numbers, I would expect they're going to mix it up, bring it any way they can. So I think, I mean, this is not going to be the pretty side of the matchup the other side is. And so I still think, kind of like all year, you know, our offense is like very underrated, even though it's right top number two in scoring and top 10 and everything else. And you start
not explosive though, Dustin.
You start comparing the numbers side by side. And the one thing that really stuck out to me, like, they have two really good running backs that we'll talk about in a little bit. Cam Dickey has more yards than them. I don't know how Dante Moore has only 400 more passing yards than Barron Morton, who didn't play, like, I don't know what, three or four games, basically, with the two he missed and then all the second halves. Like, only have 400 more yards. Like, so I'm just like, nothing jumps off the table to me, especially on their defensive side.
I think when you look at them defensively, I think they're kind of, they're not, there's nothing like super impressive that I think you see stats wise, but they can win in a bunch of different ways. You saw them win in a defensive slog fest against Iowa. They've also been in high scoring games like against USC. So I think it's tough to say like what this defense is really going to be. The names you got to watch out for, like you said, Bryce Boddicker, their linebacker. Dylan Thieneman is the safety who is their, I think, their best safety, who allows them to do a lot of different things defensively. And then Tietam Tuioto, we gave it a shot, is their sack leader, who has 7.5 sacks on the season. And other than that, they only have other guys with like 1.5 sacks or 1 sack. So he's kind of the one guy you got to worry about on that defensive line. They're really going to try to make you like, they're not going to try to sack you. They're going to try to make you beat them by playing sound defense, covering, and not letting you create explosive plays. So it's going to be on Mac and Barron to figure out how to, I think, create some explosive plays, whether that's through the run game in your offensive line, creating some holes, or that's going to be the short pass game by getting the ball to Jacoby Williams, Terrence Carter, Coy Aiken, Caleb Douglas, and those guys, and kind of letting them create some space and then take your shots downfield when you get a chance. I think Barron's going to have plenty of time to throw it. And I think that's why it's perfect that he's healthy for this one, is because I think he's going to have to be able to extend some plays and maybe find some guys in some broken coverage. And we saw him do that a little bit against BYU. And that wasn't him feeling as good as he's now. So I think that he's feeling this good is going to help create more opportunities for this offense. If guys can get open, if he can find them, I think there's going to be opportunities there.
And then lastly, looking at the team stuff, and I'm going to do this on both sides of the ball. One, Oregon didn't play a super hard schedule either. So don't let people tell you that they did.
I mean, yeah, it's really like Penn State, Indiana, and Iowa.
USC team, like,
yeah.
Yeah. And like, so those three teams we just mentioned are the three probably best offenses they played all year, and they each put up 30, 30, and 27. So if they're giving up 4-ish touchdowns, you know, 3 touchdowns and some field goals to you, I feel pretty good about that going into it. If that's at the best offenses they're playing, they're giving up, you know, 3 to 4 touchdowns anyways.
Yeah, I feel very similar. I feel like you're going to be able to put up points. I I feel this game offensively being very similar to Utah, BYU, Kansas State, where it might be a little slow going, figuring it out. It's going to be a lot of energy on their side and both your sides. And I think that's one of the things I've appreciated about Mac is he kind of figures things out as the game goes on. He evolves with the game and figures out ways to attack. And I think that's going to kind of be possibility of this game. I would love to go out there, maybe score your first possession. I don't expect a high scoring first half. I would expect us to figure out some things, maybe a half, figure out some ways to exploit this defense. And I feel like you're going to be able to do that. It does shock me how, you know, underrated I think our offense is, despite just continually putting 30 plus points up a game. It's like, oh, they couldn't score against BYU. It's like, we scored 34 points.
We scored 34, 29.
When Oregon played really good defenses, what did they do? And I don't really hear them complain.
They scored 18 against Iowa.
They scored 10 against Indiana. 21
against Wisconsin.
And I don't hear any commentators talking about that. So let's flip. Any other offensive things that you want to see this upcoming Thursday?
No, I mean, I love what we always do. That's what I was talking about. Oregon's defensive side mostly. I mean, I love what we do. So I'm not worried about anybody that we're going to roll out there or what Mac's going to do.
Yeah, I think just roll out there, take care of the ball, value your possessions. If you're able to move the ball down and get field goals in this one, I'm not going to complain. I think anytime you can get points on the board is going to be valuable. And as we mentioned, you know, hopefully their red zone defense gives you opportunities that you haven't had, and you're able to punch it in the end zone more times than not there. And their fourth down defense hasn't been good. Maybe that is another opportunity for you to exploit them in those areas that their defense isn't very strong. So up to the other side of the ball, where I think this is the matchup of the game that most people are looking forward to, the explosive Oregon offense. Athletes everywhere, receiver, running back. I think they have three running backs who average over, let's see, no, one, two, three,
two really good four, running backs.
Four running backs who average over 6 yards per carry.
Yes.
One who averages 8.6 yards per carry in De'Ari Hill. Whittington is their leading running back with 798 yards on the ground. They're going to want to run the ball. I saw a stat, I think, over the last 2 years, Oregon is undefeated when they run the ball over 100 yards, and they are 0-2 when they do not reach that mark. That was Ohio State in the playoff last year and Indiana this year. So stopping the run is obviously going to be huge. Then they bring in Dante Moore, and I think that's one of the other reasons Oregon probably gets favored, is he's a thought of a little higher as a better quarterback than Barron. 3,046 yards passing, like you said, not a whole lot more than Barron did, and a lot less time Barron played this season. But Dante Moore does. He has a pretty impressive stats. He probably is going to be an NFL quarterback next year. 28 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He has been sacked 12 times. I know in the Indiana game, he was sacked 6 times through a couple bad picks. In that one, threw a few picks against James Madison due to some pressure. So, and then, yeah, lots of weapons. Probably the most impressive weapon on the offensive side of the ball is Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end for Oregon. They're the star receiver for them. The transfer Evan Stewart has been ruled out, so he's not going to get a play, but they do have an arsenal of guys who are over, you know, 300 yards. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys who have gone over 300 yards receiving. So a lot of different weapons, a lot of ways they're going to try to beat you. What are your thoughts on what Jacob Rodriguez, the Mustache Crew, David Bailey, Romello Height, Lee Hunter have up against them on Thursday?
They have a good offense, but if you've been on Twitter for the last 10 days, the Oregon people will tell you it's the best offense ever. And
yeah,
I don't think they've watched much Texas Tech defensive tape. I've heard the explosive comments. I've heard the speed is going to get to us. I've heard the offensive line is too physical for us. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of that. Yeah.
That one really irked me. I'm like, come on. We have possibly the best D-line in the country. And you're just going to throw that out there that we haven't faced anybody this physical when we played Utah and BYU twice.
and Utah has probably the best line in the country. So,
yeah. So I don't know where they're getting all this from. Yeah, they have good players, but I don't think they're as all-star as some of their fans are making them think. They're going to want to run the ball. Like you said, I think that's where everything comes from. They want to run it. Whittington and Davidson in the backfield are really good, but that's where it's going to be strength on strength is our number one rushing defense versus that D line and our linebacking crew against those guys in their O line. And basically what it looks like, that's what sets up Dante Moore in the passing game because they don't have any studs in the receiving game. You know, no one's over 50 receptions. No one's over barely over 500 yards. And yeah. But if you look at it, it's a lot of downfield, a lot of 15 plus yard averages on that side of the ball. I mean, their best receiver is Malik Benson, 36 for 645. That's like Coy Aiken numbers, basically. So when you put it that way, you're not like that scared of it. But they have like six guys that they trot out there and like I said, spread it around. So it's going to be getting pressure on, I mean, Dante Moore. Like, this is our strength of this game. Like, we love this matchup because of this. We have the number one rushing defense. They like to run the ball. All right, let's see who can win out of that. Like, this is probably the best running back game we've faced, you know, because BYU didn't have their full allotment, and Utah's is quarterback run as well. So,
yeah,
this is probably the best matchup of that. So if you can stop that and then start to let the boys eat on that D-line, you know, let Romello and David Bailey start to get to Dante Moore, he can possibly crumble. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see our defense against this offense, and I still think we have the upper hand on it.
Yeah, I still think so, too. I mean, I'm going back and looking at probably the closest defense to us that Oregon has faced all year is Indiana.
Yep.
They put up 13 points on Indiana. One of the touchdowns was a pick six. So they scored 20 points in the game, but they were only able to put up 13 points. Here's their stats from this game offensively. 186 pass yards for Dante Moore. Their leading rusher had 59 yards on the day. Their receiving leader had 44 receiving yards. So I think to beat this team, yeah, you're going to basically need to copy and paste that performance. And I think it's pretty doable because I think we have a better defense than Indiana. And this defense is going to travel. This defense is fast. So I don't expect the speed to really destroy us because if you've watched us play any football this year, it's not just one guy tackling a guy. Usually it's like a whole horde of guys, one of our defensive ends might be faster than some of your, might be as fast as Kenyon Sadiq and Romello Height, who I've seen outrun running backs this season. So I don't think speed's going to be much of the issue here. I think, you know, that is what Oregon's going to try to do. They're going to try to attack you. And I think what does maybe worry me is, you know, is the template to beating us is probably the Arizona State game. Take some deep shots, get some guys in your back, in your secondary on one-on-one coverage and see if your receivers can go make a play. That would be the one thing that scares me. But I think if you can stop the run game and if David Bailey and Romello High are having good days against their matchups, it's going to be very tough for Dante Moore. And I think that's where you get him to force it. And that's where Jacob Rodriguez, that's where Ben Roberts, that's where Bryce Pollock are great at taking advantage of those of the quarterback trying to press and trying to force throws and read the defense or read the quarterback's eyes and make those plays. So I think, if David Bailey or Romello Height are winning their matchups and you're stopping the run, I just don't see a way that Oregon can find a way to win this one.
Yeah, then to do the team comparison on this side, you kind of brought it up there with Indiana. The probably three better defenses they faced in the Big Ten there. You know, they took two overtimes to get to 30 points against Penn State. I wasn't even going to mention that, but they scored 20 against Indiana, and one of them was a pick six, like you said. They only scored 21 against Wisconsin, 21-7 game there.
Yeah.
They scored 18 against Iowa. Like, they're not beating the hell out of these other good defenses.
No. And even, like, Washington, only 26 against,
right,
you know, Washington. And we would be frowned upon if we only scored 26 points because we can't. So, so yeah, I definitely think, you know, this defense is as real as we've thought it all is. I think people are waiting to be able to say not so fast. But right. I think that's what I'm most confident in this team is their ability to step up. I do think Dante Moore is the best quarterback you'll play this season so far. I think
sure.
Sam Levitt was the best so far that you've faced, and he was really good that day, and he's the one quarterback who beat you. But you didn't have Baron Morton in that game, and I think that's a huge difference.
Yep.
And so it'll be interesting to see. I definitely think this game has got to – for Tech to win, I think it's got to be a very similar recipe to a lot of your games this year. I think you got to be close. I think it's going to be kind of a close first half. I would love if we get a comfortable lead on the first half, but I think it's going to rely on your team in the second half doing what they've done all year, which is just wearing down their opponent and the defense just taking over in the second half, setting your offense up with great field position. And really, it just – you've seen it in all these games. It just snowballs. Like once the offense for the other team starts to break, it just all falls apart. And I think that's how you got to win this one, is the defense has got to lean on that Oregon offense and break them. And then that's how you get the dub.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you see any other way this game plays out? Is that kind of how you see this one happening? Do you see a potential for Tech to go out there and just kind of put it on them or how do you see this game playing out?
I'm not going to say that just because I do think Oregon's good. You know, I don't think we're playing James Madison like they got to a week or so ago. And so I do think it's going to be at least a 3-quarter game until you possibly can get them into the fourth and break them like you have some other teams. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, not struggle, but like fight to gain, you know, an advantage in this game. So yeah, it'll be close. I'm not saying it won't, but protect the ball, get a couple turnovers, and you can do what you've done all season.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like you. I just kind of see this game. I don't really see a way where one of the teams blows the other team out. I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched in that they're pretty sound all around. I think these are two really good coaching staff. So I see this one being really close. I think it's going to fall on which team has the biggest strength. And I think that's the Red Raider defense. That's the biggest strength in this game. And so that's what we've relied on, I think, a lot this season is that defense. And I think they're going to be able to step up to the plate on Thursday and get the job done for the Red Raiders. So any other things you got for Texas Tech, Oregon, or do you want to go ahead and make our tailgate bets?
Let's get into it.
All right, let's get into it. Our first time doing tailgate bets for Texas Tech in the college football playoff. This is a big one. So let's get it going with the spread. Texas Tech underdogs at this moment. Oregon a 2.5-point favorite. Dustin, let's go ahead and do your pick and go ahead and give us your score for this one.
So yeah, so I don't care about those points. I'm still taking Texas Tech here. I will go with let me do my quick math there. I got the over. And I got a score of Tech 34-24.
Wow, a 34-24 victory for Texas Tech. Dustin,
yeah,
with that
10-point still give victory. Dante Moore credit, not offense, that they might be able to score a few touchdowns, but I think it'll still be in our hands.
All right. I also am going with Texas Tech to not only cover but win outright. We're both going homer here, and why not? You know, this is a good ass football team. Fully believe in their ability to go out there and possibly win this one. I am going under the 51.5 points, though. I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. I think it's going to be a defensive battle, and I got Texas Tech winning 27-23. I do have us kind of winning by a little bit there, maybe Oregon scoring late to kind of make it interesting, having to do an onside or something like that. So I think it's going to be kind of one of those games where, all right, once you get the stop and the ball back, you can kneel it out. It's kind of how I see this one playing out. First half spread is Oregon minus 1.5. Dustin, you think Texas Tech leads at the half or Oregon?
I'll still take us in that.
I'm as well. I think I would put a lot of money on this probably being like a tie game at half, I think. I think it might be tied or might be up by like 10 to 7, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're both going to go with Texas Tech leading at the half. And then I thought on this one, on our little prop bet, both quarterbacks are at 1.5 over under on passing touchdowns in this game. So I thought we'd go over or under 3 touchdown passes. If we want to go to 3.5, we can do that. But what are you thinking touchdown pass wise for both of these quarterbacks?
I feel like that's low for both of them. I mean, I know both teams like to run it, but I think defense is a key in on that. So I'll take the over there.
Yeah, I think to win this game is going to have to be kind of through the air. And so I think if whoever's winning is probably hitting on multiple touchdown passes. So I kind of agree with you. I think I'm going to go over the 3. So, all right, that does it for our Orange Bowl tailgate bets. The spread, we've got Texas Tech plus 2.5 over under. Dustin's got over 51.5 with the Red Raiders winning 34-24. I've got under 51.5 with Texas Tech winning 27-23. We're both going with Texas Tech to cover the plus 1.5 at half, and we're both going over 3 passing touchdowns for both Dante Moore and Baron Morton combined. So those are our Orange Bowl tailgate picks. Anything else football related you want to get to before we discuss a little basketball and get out of here?
The transfer portal will be open by the next time we talk officially. Yes. So it's kind of nice to be able to sit back and not have to worry about that right now. You know, even though James Blanchard and crew are, you know, scheming up the team for next year, but you already have games to still get to play right now. So you're not anticipating just what you're doing there yet.
Yeah, it's nice to not have to super worry about the portal while still getting to enjoy all this stuff of the portal and people hitting the portal and rumors of quarterbacks going places and everything today. So, yeah, it'll be bang, bang, I am sure. Game on the first, portal on the second. So lots will be going on in college football over the next few days. I'm going to head and do our final shots.
Yeah, I don't have anything there. Tech basketball over Winthrop the other night was good. But, yeah, just back where I started, plan accordingly for New Year's Eve. Get home early and safe and be prepared to wake up for game time at 11 on New Year's Day.
Yes, drink responsibly on that New Year's on New Year's Eve and New Year's morning, because big day, gonna need all the energy you can get. So celebrate responsibly and enjoy the Red Raiders playing in the Orange Bowl on Thursday to kick off the New Year's. My final shot would just be basketball. You know, dominant win over Winthrop was nice to see. Coming off the win over Duke. And now we shift our focus to conference play. So conference play, Big 12 play begins on Saturday with Oklahoma State coming to town. So definitely feeling more encouraged about what we've seen from this team coming off the Duke victory and the throttling of Winthrop. So feeling a little bit more confident about the team than I was a couple weeks ago. Hopefully these guys can get healthy. Hopefully the Christmas break has been nice to get some of the guys ready to go for what's going to be a very important Big 12 slate for the basketball team. So that will do it for us here in the year of 2025. Wrapping it up, it's been a fun year. Lots of things going for Texas Tech sports in the year of 2025, and hopefully bigger things on the horizon here in 2026. We hope you guys enjoy your New Year's. Have a safe and fun New Year's Eve. celebrate, party with your friends, party with your family, and then get up and get ready and party with your friends and party with your family on New Year's as the Red Raiders kick off the Orange Bowl. Have a great Orange Bowl tailgate, and we'll catch y'all at the next tailgate.